Welcome to Guitar Radio Show, the show dedicated to the guitar player, guitar maker, gear builder, and purveyors of such items that you may not know about, but should. Here's your host, Mark Davin.
All right, folks, welcome back to another episode of Guitar Radio Show. We have with us a returning guest, friend of the show, absolutely insane guitar player and musician and songwriter. And his band is on tour right now in support of their latest release that's coming out very soon. It is called Strong Thing, and it is a very strong thing. From the band Marbin, please welcome back Danny Rabin. How are you, Danny?
Great, Mark. And yourself?
I'm good. Good to hear your voice again.
Thank you. Yeah, and you too, man. It's been too long.
I got to tell you, man, after hearing this record, more and more I am convinced that if Zappa were alive, you guys would be his band.
Okay, that is very high praise.
Thank you, man. You should. Absolutely, man. Holy cow. Really, really good. It's such a great record.
I'm glad you liked it. Yeah, it was a trip, you know, because we do albums now very different than a lot of our contemporaries, in the sense that we just tour with the music for about a year and a half, and then we go into the studio and just bang it out. That album, Strong Thing, was just 2 days in the studio. We played through it, and then there was just nothing to do. So
that's great.
Know, like when you really.
So let me get this straight. You recorded this record in how long?
Like we did 10 hours. So 5 hour session and another 5 hour session.
All right, folks, you heard the track on the way in. The track you heard on the way in was basically the first release from the record is called Alabama Sock Party. That alone should have taken 10 hours.
No, we just did it all together live in the studio. We didn't do any overdubs. That was just it. It was just plug in and play kind of deal.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, it's funny because we went pretty old school with it. We could see each other in different rooms to get nice sound.
Uh-huh.
You know, my amp was in a room, Danny with the saxophone was behind glass, and, you know, we were just hanging out and playing together, you know.
That's so cool.
That's it.
Very cool. Hey, I appreciate you naming a song after me, but I'm not that messy.
It's a different mark, but yeah. Yeah, dude, it's all the songs on that record are a trip. So you know how we name our songs after with the whole story time thing. So,
oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's plenty of stories in that one. But yeah, I mean, now we're touring. It's funny. We've already phased out all the songs on this record, and we're playing like our next thing, which is like, you know, a brand new 90 minutes of music.
Wow! Wow!
So, yeah, man.
That is so cool.
We've been traveling a lot, writing a lot, playing a lot, so it's been good, man.
And are you still using basically the same setup that you had last time we talked, or has it morphed for you?
Oh, my thing's changed completely. Yeah. Right now I'm running I'm still the same amp, and I play a Sur guitar, but in terms of effects, I'm using like a gig rig. Switcher, which are, you know, the guys from Death Pedal Show put together, and then all my drives are the Vertex stuff.
Okay.
And so I'm using like the Dumble pedal in a box thing. We call it the Ultraphonics, which is great lead thing, and then his compressor too for some of the cleans, and the RC Booster, Strymon, Mobius and Timeline for delay and all that stuff. But actually the guy from Vertex, Nathan, is building me like a new rig in February, so everything's changing again.
Wow. Okay.
So is it like
variations on a theme, or does your sound end up changing completely?
I mean, it's weird because if you listen to the record, I don't really use many sounds. I just kind of have my lead tone, and that's it. So it's just the way I use pedals is strange, because it's just I have some sort of boost going through the clean channel of my amp to color it, and then overdrive pedal going into the dirty channel of my amp to color it. I use boost pedals kind of like the same way people would use an EQ or something, just to accentuate certain frequencies I like.
Right.
And to voice those channels in the amp. And then in the effects loop of the amp, I just run a delay. That whole record, I didn't use any verbs really in my rig, but now I do, because I found one I really like, called RV7, made by like Digitech. It has like those Lexicon chips in it. It's very good.
Okay, cool.
So yeah,
very
but,
cool.
Yeah, I mean the rig changes a little bit at a time, but it's very simple. So
mm-hmm. Now, do I dare want to ask where the title Spank Tank came from?
I so can't tell you on record. it's horrible. It's a horrible story. So we actually, it's not public. But I will tell you something, a funny thing that happened to me with that song. Last summer, we played a festival called Sababa Fest in Pennsylvania. Did you ever hear about it?
No.
Okay, the reason you never heard about it is because it's the Burning Man for Orthodox Jews. I shit you not.
Wow. Right?
So, yeah. So, you know, we're Israeli, so oftentimes we get booked to do like Jewy kind of things for Jews. But like, we're super secular, you know, so if we're like 2 on the Jew scale, the people attending were like 25,000, right?
Wow.
They're so religious. And we're driving into this thing and we're looking around and all the people are like dressed to the, you know, to the T, like, you know, with all the Jewish garb, penguin suits, the curls, everything.
Right.
Right, the hats. And we're like, what the fuck? Like, where are we? And you know, we're hanging out there, and it's just like this amazingly organized festival. Like, even the joints came in like rain protective gear. Like, everything was on time. And we were very impressed by the Jewish mind running a hippie festival. But like, all these religious people were tripping their balls off on mushrooms,
right?
And when you're hanging out with people who are extremely religious, who are also hallucinating really hard, it's very strange, because they attribute everything they see to God, right? So we're like hanging out at the bank of this river,
right,
in the festival, and this guy, this like religious Jewish guy, is like holding up a leaf and showing us, and his eyes are like the size of silver dollars, right? And he's like, look what Hashem made. And we're like, wow, he's pretty good at that stuff. Anyway, we're on stage, right? And it's like late at night, and it's in our contract in bold letters, like, no cursing, no story time. The guy that booked us knew our show. He knows that I tell stories on stage about the song.
Right.
And he was like, you know, the mind of the people attending this thing can't possibly handle the story. So I wasn't supposed to say anything, and I wasn't supposed to curse on the mic. So I'm just like, fuck, like, what am I going to do, right? I'm not used to, like, you know, being in that situation. So I'm just like up there, and there's like 500 people in front of me, and I'm like just winging it. I'm like, it's nice to be in front of so many Jews. And they like ate it up. They're like, yeah, like 500 tripping Jews, you know, screaming. And then I'm like, oh, fuck, I have to introduce the song titles. And our song titles are so idiotic, right? And I was like, all right, this next song is Spank Tank. And I have this like silence. 500 people just looking around. Then I start hearing like this thing going like, Spank Tank? Spank Tank? So, yeah. That name raises some eyebrows.
You have the best stories, I swear to God. That's great.
And then, well, you know, we're out there a lot.
I know. The shit that happens to you guys on the road, it's scary.
Well, I mean, it happens to everybody, but you got to actually be on the road, not just like be sent on a money getting mission by your label. You know, it's so weird, man. We were doing Cruise to the Edge last year, and we were hanging out with the guys from Haken, and they're a good band, and you know, they all live in like different continents, but you know, they hang out and whatever. Like, we're like trying to exchange some road stories with them. And they're like telling us stories like, oh yeah, like we all just, you know, we played a gig at this like theater, and then we all stayed in separate hotel rooms, and like one time, like, you know, I put too much like hot sauce on my food. Ha ha ha, it was really hot. And I was like, dude, like, it's like, you need to live a little. I don't know, man. The crazy shit happens in squalor, you know? It's like we started from nothing. There's no label. There's no hotels.
Right.
None of that. Right. You know, it's like it's the company you keep. So
well, yeah,
you hang out with the insane.
Yeah, it's always that. With you guys, it's always down and dirty. I love that. And, you know, it's interesting because I think it ends up reflecting in the music.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah. Well, I mean, we are getting older. Less things are happening now than they did, like, you know, 5 years ago. You know, not that we're old. We're like 30. Me and Danny are like 34. But we just used to hang out all night with the craziest people. So shit would happen, you know?
Right, right. Right.
But yeah, it's... But I don't know, man. Musically, it's an interesting time. So, you know, we're still in this... we're still getting better, you know? So, I mean, I'm not delusional. I know my heroes, like, you know, it won't happen forever. Like, people kind of, it's kind of like a hill effect, you know? It's like you get to your pinnacle and, you know, but I really feel like we're not there yet. It's like everybody's playing is still improving. And
well, that's for sure. I notice a difference between this record and the last record. There's a big difference.
Right, yeah, it's like everything's more flowing, and it's nice to, and it's also nice to be in a situation where, you know, you can't play less well, because, you know, like, if people around you are improving, it's like, it really gets you in this mindset of being competitive.
Mm-hmm.
You really want your moments to mean something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I noticed with this record, there's a lot of... for lack of a better way of putting it, they're almost like orchestral pieces where they have a part one and a part two. So, like, for example, with Just a Little Bit, is this, it's really, I mean, it is so beautiful and it's so epic.
Thank you.
Where does this come from?
The name or the music?
The music.
The music. You know, what happened to us was that it's no secret that we're really coming more from the jazz world than from the rock world,
right,
in terms of influence. But the jazz world had a big restriction built into the style that we tried to abide by with our first couple of albums in the sense, like in the structural sense, meaning that usually when you're listening to jazz, you know, you play the melody for a song and then you kind of are playing the harmony that supports that melody in a loop, and you just improvise on that the same way you would improvise on the 12-bar blues. It just kind of keeps happening in circles.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we started finding was that it was very boring for us as listeners to listen to like a 6-minute song where it's just kind of spinning around and me and Danny are playing over the same kinds of things. So the idea was that, you know, me and Danny are like the ones soloing on the stuff like the guitar and the saxophone. And the idea was to just have this, have these structures that are really not jazz structures, to where they would allow the guitar and the saxophone to kind of solo on different things in the same, in what we would consider the same song.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of times, you know, it was really, it became these kind of two songs that we would bridge together. And that tends to be a form that we go to. You know, obviously it could be, and I think like our new stuff is like that too. And it's just to not be enslaved to that idea of just using the form that supports one melody, and that's like, you know, your whatever, 6-8 minute song. So some of these songs have two separate melodies, like just a little bit. And also it allows you a certain freedom where it tends to be like the second melody. You don't need to like beat it to death, right? You just kind of play it once or twice. And it's short and it gets the point across and it establishes a kind of a new harmony for you to play on. But yeah, we wouldn't even have done it as a part one, part two, if it wasn't for Bandcamp making us have 10 songs, or because if not, then your album is valued at $7 because you have 7 tracks that are worth $1. we just kind of arbitrarily were like, oh shit, what can we divide here? So it's pretty pragmatic. It was like an attempt to be like Beethoven.
That's great. That's hysterical. You too much.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
So, hey man, it's the Jewish mind. They won't allow you to sell a $10 album for $7. Against our religion.
You're too funny. Oh my God. So the track, there's a track on here that takes me back to the days of 70s fusion. I don't know if it does that for you, but Itchy Bun.
Itchy Bun, yeah. Well, I was born in 85, so it doesn't take me back quite that far.
But can you dig what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's the music we love, right? Like Weather Report and Mothershill and whatever. Like, you know, all the guys from back there. But yeah, Itchy Bun is weird because it's a melody that Danny wrote when he was in high school that he always kind of thought about, like, a slow rubato Coltrane kind of melody, like
right.
Bodobia, with like piano slows, Bodobia, Bododa. And then we put that African kind of groove to it, like, like, you know, a decade and a half later. And then that second part to it is more like a gypsy jazz kind of waltz that I wrote on acoustic guitar that we just made a big arrangement out of. And those, and then they have that kind of Zeppelin-y kind of riff connecting them, you know. And that's another example, like, you know, of like how Danny's kind of playing over the harmony that supports that first melody, and then I play over the more rocking side of it, that's kind of more connected to that metalish waltz thing,
right?
Yeah, but yeah, it's just, I mean, yeah, there's no, it's weird. There's no particular band that we model this stuff over, and there's just not a whole lot of good fusion, and that's the truth. It's like that, at least in my mind. You know, some songs and some bands did some amazing stuff, but not a lot. And fusion took a detour into the whole Hawaiian shirt calculator watch synth stuff, like pretty much in its diapers. And that's, I mean that. Fusion should be like the prime example of why you shouldn't do cocaine. Because like, look what happened to this music. Like, there are people who actually thought that some of this shit was a good idea. Like all these synths and drum machines and horrible synthesized sounds. They really took our precious beloved electrified jazz and into a piece of shit.
don't hold back, Danny. Tell me what you really think.
Yeah, I mean, we are still. Listen, I've been traveling for a decade now in small towns and cities and whatever, just to create a market for what we do, which is really just play the best we can on electric instruments over song forms, right?
Right.
And the amount of destruction that the people that are the two generations ago, like, you know, people have done. You had it made. You had people like Weather Report playing stadiums, right? You had Miles Davis Electric Band filling up stuff. What happened, right? Like, how did one generation manage to destroy this thing to where people will refuse to, like, hear fusion and curl up into a ball, right? It's like, I mean, it's unforgivable. It's like, really, it's like a torch was passed down and passed down. And I get that, like, you know, it's easy to blame, you know, the audience for getting dumber, but I don't know, man. There's people that have been playing instruments and sophisticated listeners. I blame the artist. Just producing garbage.
Yeah.
You know? That's a lot. There's a lot of bad music out there. And, you know, how many times are you going to go see a fusion show before you're just going to, like, nope? Yeah, I mean, I encourage people listening to just, you know, if you're gonna do it, just really try to be thoughtful in the writing and really understand that you need to play your ass off and not to put so much pop in it, you know, things that you think people might want or things that you think might sell. Just, you know, do what you actually like.
Well, that's it, right? It's about make it for yourself, and then if there's an audience that's thinking the same way you are, they'll buy it.
Right. And I think, you know, there's always, in music, the hardest thing to talk about is this dynamic between between quality and success, right? Because you might say it's like, well, the most talented people don't have the most success, right? Garbage wins. McDonald's wins over, like, the best French bistro. And that's true, but it's like what you really gotta balance is like ethics and pragmatism. And if you're just pragmatic and just are making decisions based on what works, you will inevitably just make garbage, right? You'll mm-hmm. make the McDonald's of music because you're just gonna be asking yourself, what do people want right now? Mm-hmm. But it's not gonna be substantive, and it's probably gonna be pretty poisonous for people. Mm-hmm. And if you just ask yourself what's the best thing, that's also not good, because that's how you end up being an avant-garde musician, you know, making very collegiate kind of music. So I think you need to ask yourself musically what's good. You need to start with the ethical side of it, understanding the difference between good and bad and what you like, and then be very pragmatic about how you make it through the world, right? How mm-hmm. you make it work financially, what kind of gigs you play, how hard you work, you know, how much of yourself you're actually putting. You know, I don't know. It's like with fusion and with jazz in general, it's only interesting when the person in front of you is really trying to play his ass off, like not holding back, giving it all, you know, trying to give you his all every night, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's like the only way it works.
Yep. Absolutely. I agree. Yeah. Absolutely. So, you know I asked you this last time that you and I sat down to talk about a record and everything else, and you kind of didn't know what to say, but I'll ask you again. Do you think you'll ever do a record just your guitar work?
Alone?
Yeah.
I wouldn't, because Marvin is really like, you know, me and Danny write the songs. So anything that has to do with showcasing the guitar, it's me deciding anyway. I mean, it is, like, I don't feel like this context is in any way, like, limiting, you know what I mean, to what I want to show.
It's right.
Pretty much exactly what I do. And if I have, like, an idea of, you know, something I want to play over a melody, I want to play a guitar thing I want to do, I can always do it.
So, in essence, Marvin is like your solo project.
It is, yeah. It's my duo project, but, you know, I'm like a full partner in the writing, so I get to do exactly what I want. It's whatever me and Danny bring to the table. Yeah. I mean, the only difference is that we write the melodies together. But yeah, it's not like, you know, it's like, play over that B7 altered or else, you know. It's gonna, you know, I have that kind of control over the music side.
Right.
It's just very free for me.
Yeah. So we got to talk about your rhythm section, man, on this record. Is this the same? Sure. Is this the same rhythm section that's on the road with you too?
It is. The drummer is. This is his first record with us. His name is Everett Benton Jr. and he's amazing. It's the first time we're actually playing with a jazz drummer, and it's a whole other world. It's like there's no playing just kind of the beat, the groove. Everything is kind of liquid, you know. It's like he's catching things all the time, and it's really. I don't like when people say that jazz is a conversation. But it's more like when you give your speech, the person behind you is kind of listening and supporting you in the right moment, you know. And a lot of the drama of the music is that interaction, mm-hmm. and he totally brings that. I really love that. And the bassist John Nadell has been with us for the last 3 albums, so Ghost Man and The House of the Dead, Israeli Jazz, and now Strong Thing.
Right. And so he was on that. He was on the live record.
No, he wasn't. That was J.J. and Hill on the line.
Oh, okay.
The third set, so that's a few records ago.
Okay, wow, man.
At this point,
you guys have really been putting it out there. This band, man, is this particular record, and this band is so cohesive. It's like you can't tell where one ends and the other one begins as far as the players. It's so seamless.
Come see us. We're playing in Austin on Thursday.
I know, on the 23rd. Yeah, I'm going to do my best to be there. Yeah. I have another thing that I'm doing over at the Hog Auditorium. What time do you guys go on?
That's a good question. I think like 9 or
I might
eight,
actually. I might.
One of those.
Yeah, I have to check and see what time my thing ends at the Hog, and then I might run over there.
Yeah,
I'm going to do my best.
It's going to be fun.
I'm going to do my best. Well, Danny, I know you're on the road, and I know you're heading to the next location, so I'm going to let you go. Man, this is a great record. Folks, go to marbinmusic.com. That's M-A-R-B-I-N music.com. The record is called...
The best place to go is actually marbinmusic.bandcamp.com.
Oh, go to Bandcamp. Okay.
And buy it.
Okay, and buy it, right. Don't just stream the freaking thing, buy it. The record is called Strong Thing, and it is. It really is a very strong thing. And great job, man. Always a pleasure to talk
to
you.
Mark.
And I hope to see you I hope to see you on Thursday night.
See you soon, man.
All right, man. Safe travels.
Thank you.
All right, we're gonna leave everybody with the track Spank Tank. Here you go. See you later, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Check out Guitar Radio Show on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, GuitarRadioShow.com, and anywhere you get your podcasts. Find Guitar Radio Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And remember, if you like the artists you hear on Guitar Radio Show, don't just stream their music, buy it.